As I look back on all of my days, so many times and so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain, sometimes the tears fall like the rain, but through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. God is Amen, church. God is still good. Amen. Now there have been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of His hand, and He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. I want to turn that thing around, and I want to sing that last verse one more time. You know, God, we can look over the congregation this morning. If you just think back for a little bit, and you remember how good God has been to you, boy, all of us all be on our feet at one time just saying, boy, God's been good to me. We need to give Him the praise that is due Him. But maybe you've come to a place in your life, and maybe you've had some hard times. Maybe the road has been a little bit rough. But would you not still say with me this morning that God is still good? Amen? Oh, me, that was weak. Here we go now. Now there have been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of His hand, and He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. God.
Omega, the beginning, the end. Life starts with Him. Life ends with Him. And I pray this morning, if you do not know Him, today will be the day of salvation for you. Amen. Jesus wants to see you in heaven. He does not send people to hell. They send their own selves there by not accepting the perfect gift of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. And Jesus came, you know, to bridge the gap between God and man. And so very thankful for that. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen, Brother Harold? And the Lord didn't wait till I cleaned up. Lord didn't wait till I got up. The Lord, I wasn't even born yet. Neither were you. And but yet Jesus went to Calvary's cross and died for all of the human race. And what a blessing it is. And this is not a religion this morning. We are not here worshiping gods like Buddha or Muhammad, so-called gods. But there's only one God. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. We are here to lift Him up. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, Jesus, I will draw all men to myself. And I trust this morning you've come to hear from the Lord. And we have a mixed crowd here this morning. We've got different things going on. We've had two deaths that's been related to the church family. This week we have people who have been sick. I was sick, better now. Others are in the hospital. Some are going through family troubles. Some are going through marital and marital struggles. And then there's problems with kids in school. All kinds of things going on. But I want to say this. You are at the right place. God has a word for you this morning. And we are excited. So good to have a big, nice looking choir this morning, isn't it? Nice and full, and good to have the Martins back with us. I don't know, just feeling a little different this morning. Feels good to be here. And it's just so good. So the choir sounds so strong this morning. And I just love the Lord. Appreciate each and every one of you. Good to have my girls back in church with us. And God is doing some great things already this new year for my family. And I trust He is with your family. All right. We'll save some for preaching in a little while. How about that? Okay. All right. I do want to mention some things briefly before we have our morning prayer this morning. I do want to welcome our visitors this morning. Thank you for coming to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. You are our special guest. We love you. Some of us don't even know you, but we love you. And it's all because of Jesus on the inside of us. And thank you so much for coming. I hope you felt a warm welcome by God Himself and the church family. Make yourself at home. And while we do have a few visiting with us, I will say this. We do have restrooms on my right, to your left, down this way, men and women both. So remember that if you need to go out, or there's some downstairs. I mentioned a moment ago a couple passings, a couple deaths. I will say that Miss Pam Pace went home to be with the Lord. And this is Gary Pace's wife. This is the grandmother of Byron boys, our boys, and so we're praying for you guys back there. We love you, man. We love all of you, William, Alex, and Max, and anything we can do for you, you know we're here for you. And so this is just, you know, I'm really at a loss of words over what happened. You know, I don't think I heard of any really big past medical history as of late. You know, she got sick. Just was not able to recover, but let's just pray for Gary and the boys and the family during this time. Appreciate that. Also, let's see, there's Gene right there. His wife went home to be with the Lord as well, and we had her service here yesterday at the church. And man, we had a good large turnout, and your wife evidently was very loved, and I heard a lot of people refer to her as mother or mom. And what a sweet service, man. And so good to have you back this morning. And I believe your daughter's here as well, and son. I see them. So let's continue to lift them up in our prayers, if you would, the Jordan family. And Miss Dawn Daly, she's at home. She had a fall a while back. She's recovering from that. Nancy Farmer as well. BJ is still sick. We have Miss Bonnie Carmichael on our prayer list here. I believe Leon, is her card over here. There's a card, my right, your left, by the organ for for church family to sign those, all that would. She's having a rough time. She's has help taking care of her husband, Jim. But at the same time, she's sick herself, lung and heart problems. It's a heavy season over at the Carmichael family home. So just please lift those sweet folks up in prayer if you would. And also is little Gracie, there she is. Yeah, she had surgery, a week or two ago, and recovered nicely, it looks like. She's here. And so Gracie recovered and Lily recovered. And hey, you know what I'm saying? God's good. And we believe in prayer around here. And don't you be bashful. If you need special prayer to pray for you, we will definitely do that. So praise the Lord. So good to see Gracie. Let me mention this. The funeral services for Miss Pam Pace is going to be held at the High Towers Memorial Chapel. Is that off of Bankhead over there in Lithia Springs? I believe it is. I think there's a couple of different locations. But I believe it's the one in Lithia Springs. But it's going to be Saturday, February 1st at 2 p.m. Visitation will be from 12 to 2, leading up to the service time there in the chapel. Any more information on that, you can see Brother Brian or myself, someone here at the church. Also, CLU is going to be at 3:30 today. It's not going to be a long meeting, but it's going to be a time. I believe Miss Christie is going to share, and then they're going to meet in the fellowship hall during this time at 3:30. And I guess choir practice will follow.
We'll probably do something short. We won't have a
panel. Short choir practice to follow that. So just to be mindful of choir practice following CLU. And I want to say this, and then we'll pray. No Sunday night fellowship tonight downstairs. Many have asked. We were trying to get back on our regular schedule in the midst of sicknesses, people out of town, just surgeries, deaths, things like that. And so we may actually hold that off to after Jubilee and get started in the spring. And then shortly to follow after that, when school lets out, we'll be downstairs on Sunday nights for the summer. All right? All right. Brother Harold, you got something?
I guess you remember my granddaughter.
Yes. Let's remember this request. All right, you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. God, you know all about it. You know all about it, Lord. And so this morning we rest in that reality that you know all about it. And because you do, we're going to stay focused on this 1 hour of worship. I know you have it packed with truth and ministry and passion. I pray that Holy Spirit, you would connect to the hearts of the people through what goes on from this platform. And even in the pews, Lord, I pray that it'll just be a spirit of ministry, restoration, help, healing, and maybe even salvation for somebody that's here today without that assurance. We love you today. Thank you for those who are watching on Facebook, listening online. Be God today in this service and help us have obedient spirits. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Church, choir, if you'll stand with me, turn over to page number 393. Page 393, let's all stand together and sing When We All Get to Heaven.
Oh,
choir, you can be seated as well. And again, yes, we'll have just a short time together this evening, choir, just before the service to get a couple of songs ready for tonight. But please make Jubilee a matter of prayer. It's right around the corner. We're very excited about it. We have some great music coming, a great lineup of ministers coming, evangelists for the week, and we're very excited about that. And that is, I believe, March the 2nd through the 6th. So go ahead and put that on your calendars. You'll want to make sure that you're here every evening. On Sundays, it's just a regular Sunday service for the most part. But then during the week, I imagine we're still going to plan on feeding the ministers that week. So we always do that. So go ahead and put everything on your calendar again. You won't want to miss it. And we're excited about it. It's hard to believe we're already talking about Jubilee. But it's upon us. It's right around the corner. So go again, just go ahead and make that a matter of prayer. But it is great to have you in the house of the Lord. We have some visitors with us today, and we're very excited about that.
Amen.
We've got a family here that they know CJ, and they came anyway. They deal with him all the time, and they came anyway. But I believe they're neighbors, and it's Jeff and Amanda and their girls.
Amen.
We're very thankful to have them here with us. I love it when someone comes to visit the church, probably for the first time, I would imagine, and they come to Sunday school. That's exciting to me.
Yes, sir.
They knew CJ was preaching or teaching in there, and they came anyway. Yeah. But we love them, and I love to pick on CJ because
Amen.
He picks on me the best.
Yes, sir.
And he's big enough to take it. We are excited to have you at Calvary this morning. Amen. Most of all, I'm so thankful that I've been able to sense his presence here this morning. It started in choir practice this morning early.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit just visited with us. And we don't want to do anything to run him off today. Amen. So let's ask the Lord just to be with us in a very special way. Father, we do love you. And how thankful we are to be able to be in your house this morning. Thank you for these that are visiting with us today. Lord, some have been visiting for some time. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you most of all for your presence here. Lord, I pray that you would touch us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill this place, Lord, with your presence. Touch someone that may not know you as a personal Savior today, that it would cause them to realize that they can too be part of the family of God. Lord, they can be forgiven of their sins. Lord, we're thankful for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for what we've been able to feel already here today, and we already sense your presence in this place. Pray that you be with our pastor. Speak through him. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, accept our worship today, and we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
While Lily's coming around, I'll say, before we sing this morning, I want to say that he's always been faithful,
yes,
and he's
has.
Always been good, and I just want to, again, thank the church last Sunday morning. So for those of you that weren't here last Sunday morning, I want to say thank you again. As I look beside me this morning and look at Lily standing tall and strong. It's because of God's faithfulness that he brought us through. As most of you know, we walked through the scoliosis journey for about 10 years. And this past year, it went over into the surgery range. So God saw us through that, and I just want to thank him so much. And I want to reread the thank you note from last Sunday for those of you who weren't there. We had it put in the bulletin, but dear CBC family, thank you for every single prayer, phone call, text, meal card, and card of encouragement during and throughout Lily's recovery. We are forever grateful for you. And Psalms 126:3 tells us the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So we thank you and we love you. I've not always been faithful, but he has. I've not always been graceful, but he has. I've not always been true, but he's always come through. He has, yes, he has. I tell him I'm not strong, but he says I am. And I say I can't go on, but he says I can. Well, I've not loved everyone, and I've not always overcome, but he has, yes, he has.
Test again, he passed, yes, he passed. Oh, and he has been the greatest friend that I have ever known, and he has paid the
blessing. What a blessing. I'm glad that the Lord is able. God is able to do what we need Him to do. Plus. We have the girls singing this morning, special before we come around and preach. And it's been a while since the girls have sang, and they're going to sing, and they're going to sing a song simply entitled "I Trust in God." So I hope it'll be a help and encouragement to you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, oh, and this is my song. Praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him.
I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. Never fail. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered.
That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
Hope you enjoyed the song service this morning. Hope you felt something from the other side. And we have not congregated ourselves together in vain. There's a reason why we're here. There's a real Lord. There's a real God. He's alive. And he wants a relationship with all of us. This morning, take your Bibles, if you would, follow along on the screens to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is where we're going to be. And Psalm 32. We typically don't look at a lot of verses, but, you know, I've been saying that more and more lately, so I think we're transferring into looking at a lot more verses whenever I preach and speak. But we're going to look at a lot of verses. In fact, we're going to, I don't know if we can finish this morning or tonight, but I do want to look at the whole psalm, Psalm 32, verse 1 through 11. Please, please don't dismiss paying attention from what I just said by looking at every verse. There's 11 verses. I promise you that we're going to keep it as simple and practical as possible. I'm a very simple and practical kind of guy. I learn best when things are just spelled out in print. But I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and I do have a message from the Lord, I feel, for this particular service this morning. Sometimes the message goes along with the song service, and other times it does not, but we're just going to trust Him. Father, we love you this morning. I pray for the next few moments you'd hide us behind the cross. Give me a clear head and a calm heart. God, help me wait on Thee when I begin to speak. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Lord, it must be the horse pulls the cart. So, Father, I pray you, Holy Spirit, would minister through your living word, through the ears of the listeners, and into the hearts of the listeners. Let us all be different than when we first came today. Save the lost, bless the saved, even those watching on Facebook, listening on our webpage, audio only. I pray that you'd bless. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. With thanksgiving in our hearts, amen and amen. Psalm 32, and before we read this psalm, I want to draw your attention. I want you to notice that this is a psalm of David. The title to this psalm says, in most Bibles, in the inscription part there, a psalm of David, a psalm of this one, a psalm of that one. But it does say a psalm of David, and then it says Mashal. Mashal, that's a Hebrew word. And the word Mashal, it means contemplation. Contemplation. You know, this morning it would do me good. It would do all of us good if we just took some time each and every day to contemplate our day. Contemplate every step that we take. Go through your day and ask God, God, if you want me to do this, let me do it. If not, don't let me do it. This is a psalm of contemplation. Many times when it comes to therapists and counselors, they'll tell you to get from one point to another point, from a place where you know you need to change and want to change until the actual changing point, there's steps involved. And the first step is contemplation. You contemplate where you want to be down the road. You contemplate the right steps to make. But then the second step, Brother Ceylon, it goes from contemplation to actually doing it, to commitment. A lot of people stay in the first step, the first stage of life in many areas of just, I wish my life was better. I wish things were operating more smoothly. I wish this, I wish that. All I have to do is this, all I have to do is that. But there's just a contemplation. Nothing will ever change in our life unless there is not only contemplation, but commitment. Commitment. I remind myself in areas of my life that I would like to change. I remind myself of something I heard a long time ago, that trickles lead to streams. Trickles lead to streams. Streams lead to rivers. Rivers lead to oceans. And so if you want to get somewhere, you've got to take the first step. If you want things to get better, you've got to take that first. You must move from contemplation to commitment, or things will never change. Things will never change. But I got good news this morning. According to the Word of God, all through it, from Genesis to Revelation, anywhere you go, there is change all in here. Positive change. And praise the Lord this morning that we can change. And so it's a Psalm of David. And it says here, Mashal. It also means it's a song written to be carefully studied with the promise of receiving godly wisdom. I want to say, when we read this psalm, or any psalm, but this one in particular, you will receive wisdom. You will receive godly instruction. You want to know what God wants from your life? Follow along today from Psalm 32. You will, there's a promise, you will receive a word from God. It's a song written to be carefully studied with the promise of receiving godly wisdom. C.H. Spurgeon said about a psalm of Mashal is a teaching psalm, where the experience of one believer can provide rich instruction to another believer. Now keep in mind, it's David who is instructing here. It's David who is teaching here. He is the writer of this psalm, this poem. And so we know that David is ultimately recounting some things in his life. He is going down memory lane, and the first thing that he sees is some mistakes that he made. And so he recounts his terrible time when he was staying silent before God. When he committed his sin with Bathsheba, most believe that is what we have here in Psalm 32. That experience, along with Psalm 51.
David also in this psalm not only recounts his experience when life was hard, when he made a terrible decision, but it also is enriched with other life principles. And it all stems from that one experience of sin. But he mentions other life principles and things that he learned out of that experience in this chapter. Notice, if you would, verse number 1 and 2, he starts off with the word blessed. He says in verse number 1, blessed or blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or hypocrisy or deceit. And so verse 1 and 2 we have the word blessed. But then in verse number 3 and 4 he begins to contrast another word with the word blessed, and that is the word burdened. In verse number 3 he says, when I kept silent, when I kept it all hidden, when I kept it all on the inside, I didn't go to God, I didn't go to counselors, I didn't go to therapists, I didn't go to nobody, I kept my heavy burden to myself. And when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Verse number 4, he says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, or pause and think about that for a moment. And so we have David going from blessed to burdened, seemingly, as it's poured out here, overnight, but we know different times these things happened. But I will say, you can go from feeling blessed to burdened overnight. And as we look on a little further in verse number 5, we see that there's confession here. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Confession. Verse number 6, 7, and 10, we see confidence. Verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray. Listen to this. This is great. Unto thee in a time. What kind of time are you having right now? For this shall everyone that is godly pray. Unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Think about that. Verse number 10. Many sorrows shall be the wicked, shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Now he has moved on to a confident man. But verse number 8, 9 gives us a caution. Verse 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in a way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Okay, God, I'm listening now. He's telling us not to be like a horse or a donkey. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. The only way to get obedience out of a beast is through constraint. Did you know the only way that some people will not break the law as if they're in jail? They gotta have, amen, Brother Allen? They gotta have constraint. They gotta have somebody ruling and watching over them. Sometimes in life, if we're not obedient to the Lord and we don't want to drink from His cup of blessing, we think we have it together. We think we got life by the horns. And sometimes God will have to allow a little bit of confrontation that He may get obedience out of us. That's verse number 8 and 9. There's a caution. But look at verse number 11. There's a courage. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. As we look at this chapter, we also find various problems that can occur in life. David spends time dealing with them. Number one, he deals with sin in this chapter. Number two, he deals with storms in this chapter when life is going crazy. Number three, he even deals with stubbornness in this chapter when we think we know our path more than God does or what's best for us. But then this chapter deals with sadness as well. Sin, storms, stubbornness, and sadness. And so David gives us insight from his own experience on how to deal with these things in life. This morning, with the help of the Lord and being patient in my delivery, wanting to not miss anything God may have, I want to preach on this subject, dealing with the complexities of life. Dealing with the complexities of life. Let me just ask you a rhetorical question. It does not really need a response. You already know the answer. Would everyone agree this morning that life is very complex? I believe we would. Life has many moving parts. If you're married, your spouse. If you got kids, you're a parent. If your kids got kids, you're a grandparent. You know, you got a job, you go to school, you do this, you do that. There's life is very complex. And there's things that happen in life, different scenarios we find ourselves in, different dilemmas and situations that occur daily in the midst of life's complexities. What in the world do we do? We can go from laughing to crying in the same day. We can leave church and go from being in a loving mood to an angry mood. And many times we're a roller coaster and we're on an emotional roller coaster many days when it comes to making it through the week. In fact, this past week, as I mentioned a moment ago, there were two deaths related to our church family. And Miss Sharon and Miss Pace. Miss Jordan and Miss Pace. Also in the church family, there's been sickness for many. There's some who are recovering from surgery. Not just in our church family, but around the world, there has been even some rebellion. You look around the world, you'll find all of these things: rebellion, sickness, death, all of this. But much of this has been found in our church family for the past week or two. Just a very diverse set of circumstances taking place all at one time. There's been heartbreak and loss. So we can all agree that life can be complex with its various moving parts and scenarios. The question is this morning, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with it, Brother Justin? Well, we're going straight to God's Word right here out of Psalm 32 and see what God says through David and his own life experiences. I believe there's at least four areas this morning David mentions in this chapter that we too will deal with at some point in time or the other. We're also going to look at various words as well. And so we're going to take our time. First of all, this morning, when it comes to dealing with the complexities of life, you know that sin is involved somewhere in that scenario. We are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. Sometimes we sin on accident. Sometimes we sin on purpose. We just sin because we're sinners. And we all need God's forgiveness in order to go to heaven and in order to walk a close walk with Him today in a day and time we live to receive His goodness. So first of all, David mentions sin And this is verse number 1-5. The question is, how do we deal with sin committed? I mean, in life's complexities, when sin's involved, we slip, we stumble. How do we deal with it? Well, look, if you would, in verse number 1. At that first word, there's the word blessed. Or blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The word blessed. In both verses, that word blessed, it means happy, joyful, content. And so he says, happy is he, joyful is he, content is he, whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He says, David says, I know what it's like to be happy in Jesus. In the times that I was happy in Jesus, I was confessed up to date with my sin. There's another word here. That is the word transgression. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That word transgression, y'all ready for it? The generation in which we live, this word transgression is clearly seen. It means rebellion. It's this kind of attitude. I'm going to do what I want to do, regardless of who it affects. It's the I'm going to do what I want to do attitude. It's revolt. It's rebellion. It's I know what I want to do. I know what I'm going to do. Mom and dad's not going to tell me what I need to do. Preacher's not going to tell me what I need to do. Sunday school. Nope, the law is not going to tell me what I need to do. Amen? We have that kind of mentality not only in the church but our homes, in our communities. The police ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm a sovereign citizen. We won't get on that soapbox, will we? I don't have to listen to you. I have my own rights. I'm sovereign. I control my own performance and personality. Transgression here, it means rebellion. That I'm going to do what I want to do attitude. Now, look at the word forgiven here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That word forgiven, it means this, to lift. Almost like this. If you're carrying some weights and you go to sit them to the side or lay them down, it's like, oh. Forgiven here, it means to lift. It's through the idea of carrying a heavy load and lifting it and setting it off to the side. Doing what we want with disregard to our faith, our family, and our friends. Life can become a burden to you and I. And much of it starts in life's complexities. Life can get difficult. Life can get bad for us, and many times it finds its root in sin. In sin. But David says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He says, I feel lighter since I've been forgiven. Has anybody came in here today, been feasting on the junk of the world? You feel kind of heavy from it? There is forgiveness for you this morning. There is peace for you this morning. There is happiness for you this morning. There is contentment for you this morning. There is joy for you this morning. And it all boils down to this, is giving God your transgression. As asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you. If you're not saved, if you don't know that if you die today, heaven will be your home, ask Him to save you. I can guide you in the Scriptures or someone else, but if you have been saved and you're just following the cross from afar and you've lived dirty this weekend or whatever the situation is, just come to Him and ask Him to forgive you. You don't want anything in your relationship. You know you're saved going to heaven, but man, you want to walk with Him hand in hand. Sin will cause division in any relationship. And so, we see the word forgiven. Notice something else in verse number one. There's the word sin here. Sin. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I want you to notice there's a variety of words that tackle this subject of sin. We talked about transgression. We're about to mention sin. Verse number two, there's iniquity, and there's even the word guile. And so the word sin, what does sin mean? Sin just simply means this: falling short and missing the mark. It's falling short, missing the mark. This is the person, listen to me, the person who sins is, or the believer who sins, this is the person that's actually really trying. They're trying to do right, but they continue to fall short. The person that sins and doesn't want to sin is the person walking across a dry desert and he sees a little body of water and he wants a drink, but he just can't make it. Paul says in Romans chapter number 7, actually, in verse number 19, he says, for the good that I would, I do not. He says, I want to do good, but I don't do it. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He says, I don't want to do evil. He says, but I find myself doing evil. Listen this morning, if you are born again by the grace of God, there is a battle on the inside of you. If you're not saved, you don't know Jesus, you are fighting a battle over one, and that is the devil. But when you get saved and Jesus moves in, there's two. Well, the devil's not in you. Let me just be clear, the devil's not in you. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. But there is the flesh. And we got to decide as believers which one we're going to feed. Are we going to keep feeding the flesh thinking we're doing okay? Or are we going to keep feeding the spirit, building up that spiritual man that he may dominate the flesh man? And so we see here that the word sin, it means falling short, missing the mark. Are you struggling with sin this morning, believer? Are you wrestling and battling? You just can't seem to make it to the body of water, God's water, where He can fill you and empower you and quench your weary, thirsty soul. Got a word of encouragement for you this morning. You can make it. You can make it. You have been dependent upon your own abilities for too long. You have been trying to play church. You have been trying to talk about church. You have been trying to cultivate these feelings that you feel like you're okay. But at the end of the day, you have just been straddling the fence. Straddling the fence. No man can serve two masters. Eventually, the foot will fall. And what side of the fence will it fall on? Listen, there is a blessed life to live, and that is the Christian life. But even for the Christian, there's a blessed life to live, and it is a life of victory. Notice another word in verse number one. Covered. I like things that are covered. I'm not going to get on a big food tangent, Brother Larry, but I could. I like the chocolate fudge covered ice cream cones at DQ. This past week, I wasn't feeling good. Man, I went from cold to hot like that. Most of the week, I was more cold. Well, yeah, you're cold. It's below freezing outside. Well, I don't get cold.
And so, man, I covered up. Bro, see, along with a warm blanket. Had my dog beside me. Literally, had my dog beside me. He was keeping me warm. Man, I love for things to be covered. And David mentions that word. He says, blessed, happy, joyful, content is he whose transgressions, rebellion is forgiven. It's like it's been lifted. Whose sin is covered. Covered like a sick man on the bed in a warm blanket. God has covered our sins. He has concealed our sins. There is this terminology here denotes the atonement in the Old Testament. It means to overlook, to forgive. Love being covered. More than anything, I love that my sins are covered. They're at the bottom of God's sea of forgetfulness like the Titanic. You'd be better off trying to dig up the Titanic than trying to find my sins. They're nowhere to be found. You remember, speaking of the Titanic, you remember when, I can't even remember what it was, all these thousands, millions of dollars to make this submarine to go down and visit the Titanic, and it implodes, right? Terrible. It implodes. One night, couldn't sleep. I was right in the middle of my diet phase, man. I was starving like you wouldn't believe. And so I put it on YouTube, and I watched deep divers in those things go down to visit the Titanic. Some have lived and told about it. Some have died. But, I mean, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was watching that, and, I mean, it was 4K, Brother Larry, 65-inch TV, pure dark in the house. I was leaning off the couch like this. I felt like I was going down in the sea. Hunger pains, dizzy. I was like, man, I've either got to wake up and eat some cake or go to sleep. Jeez. But I fought it. I fought a good fight. I kept the weight off for a little while. I'm still on the regiment. Just give me a little moving room. But man, they had to go so far, and it was amazing. There was actually some, I believe I seen a chandelier that was at some part on that ship, Titanic. Still there? Chandelier. I mean, there was the spot there on the deck, you know, the Titanic and DiCaprio and whatever her name was, going like this. And, I mean, if that happened, that's where it happened. And man, that night, last night, this morning, thinking about this, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about that even at the depths where the Titanic is at. I mean, listen, they'll be better finding that than my sin. Your sins are gone. My sins are gone. Those of us that are saved. And if you are saved now and you're habitually sinning in your life, they too can be removed so that you can have a closer walk with the Lord. A closer walk. But I'm glad for that. Our sins are covered. Let me mention this. Verse number 2. There's that word blessed again. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. The word blessed means happy, joyful, content. But look at the word imputeth there. Imputeth. It's just a fancy word that means to place on one's account. And he's telling us, happy is the man that realizes what the Lord has done with his sin. He is not only forgiven and covered, but he has not imputed it on the sinner's account. God does not put sin on our account. He does not remember sin. What does he do? The Bible says in Romans 4:6 that he imputes righteousness. Makes me want to growl. Righteousness. Doesn't it? Like Narnia, the lion. Righteousness. Y'all pray for me this morning. I'm about to bite a hole in this pulpit. Aren't you glad that he removes our sin and he puts righteousness there? He puts it right there. We are righteous. Believe it or not, Christy, you're married to a righteous man.
I'm married to a righteous woman, righteous daughter. You say, well, how can we say that to each other? What was home like on Friday night? Don't you worry about it. There wasn't no dishes thrown. There were no tomatoes thrown at the house. We're just human beings trying to find what works under the leadership of the Lord. We're not perfect people, but before God, we're righteous. There ain't a family in here that don't fight. And I'm not implying we have recently fought, okay? Some of you are thinking I'm implying that. No, I'm not. Just stay with me, okay? Let's just admit, we all fight from time to time. I'm not talking about Mike Tyson punch out fighting. I'm just saying sharing a few words, getting some things off your chest, and then going back and apologizing. Am I right? All right. Imputeth. Just remember, Romans 4:6 says, God imputes righteousness without works. There is nothing you can do to earn salvation this morning. There is nothing that I've done to merit salvation. Listen, you can hold doors open for people. You can give to charities. You can get baptized 111 times plus one. You can do all of, you can be on a church roll, and you can join the church. But if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't want to die and go to hell. I ask you to save me. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. The Bible says, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this morning, will you allow the Lord to put righteousness in you from His Son? So that if you die later today, and it could happen. So that if you die in the morning, and it can happen. We've had two this week. If you die, the score will be settled. You won't answer for your sin because God the Father sees God the Son and His righteousness on your life. Wow. All for free. For you, but cost him everything. Okay, look at the word iniquity here. Iniquity. Verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Iniquity means immoral behavior. It means perverseness. Also, it means warped or twisted behavior or thinking. And we know that God does not impute immoral behavior. God, somebody says, well, God's done this in my life. He led me from this woman to the next woman. Uh-uh. Hey, listen, I'll say it. What happened in that marriage to cause the one to leave? And listen, I'm not beating up on those who've had divorces and everybody's story's different. I'm just saying there's some says, well, God's calling me to the football field every day on Sunday. God's calling me to worship from my lazy boy. And God may from time to time. But it does not, the callings of God do not promote immoral behavior, perverseness, warped thinking, twisted behavior. God is not in that, and you won't be happy living it. Because David says, blessed, happy is the man or person unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And so there's the word iniquity there. It's immoral behavior. It's perverseness. Let me mention one more thing. We'll try to bring it to a close. There's the word guile. And do you know one thing that brings guilt more than anything, more than a lot of things in life, is guile. What is guile? It's deceit. It's putting on a mask. It's lying to others, and it's lying to yourself. You're living your life putting on a mask. Oh, everything's okay. I'm not doing anything I shouldn't do. And then so you let everybody see the mask you want them to see, then you take it off. Listen, nobody's perfect. Nobody's sinless, only Jesus. But the thing about it is, it's the habitual lifestyle we choose. And so they take the mask off, and they're over here, and they're like, okay, I'm going back to doing what I'm doing because nobody's seeing me. They're seeing who I am at church. They're not seeing who I am out of church. And one of the most miserable lives to live is someone who has guile. who has the spirit of guile, the spirit of deceit. Listen, you can fool and you can deceive a lot of people that you're the best Christian in the world, but you'll never fool or tease God about it. And a lot of people who's been in church for years and walks tightly to God, walks tightly and close to God, knows when somebody's living a double life. Amen? None of us are perfect. But the problem is we keep excusing our behavior. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. You know, old preacher so-and-so for 120 years said, you're not perfect. Well, guess what? The axe must be laid at the root this morning. We are not perfect. We are sinners and we need a touch from God. We must be dependent upon Him to be happy. Blessed, the Bible says. Blessed. Question is this morning, are you happy? Are you joyful? Are you content as they come? We're going to finish this tonight. So far, we see sin robs us from the blessedness God wants us to experience. And I'm just going to move through these kind of briefly as they come. Also, well, in verse number 3, he talks about keeping silent. Keeping silent. He said, when I kept silent. You know, there's a time to speak and a time not to speak. And sometimes it is right to speak. It is right to speak to God. And sometimes it's even right to speak to man about things that you've been involved with. If God has forgiven you, then we have an obligation to man. There's restitution. When I kept silent, when I kept it bottled in to myself, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He says, keep silence. That means to speak not a word, of course, but bones wax old. That means to decay. That means strength was leaving his body. Sin will do that. Living not for God's best will cause your physical body to just be drained. His bones waxed old. This was strength from body decaying. When David kept silent about his sin, physically it took a toll on his body. Not everybody that's sick has sinned or living in sin. Sometimes there are sicknesses that happen providentially, like it happened to Job. But then there's other cases where we have to be brought in like a mule or a horse because we can't be trusted in the field. We've got to be controlled. These are times maybe when God even allows a sickness to get our attention. James talks about it in the conclusion of the book of James. He says, is anyone sick among you? Let him pray. Sometimes we hold the key to our own healing, don't we? But other times, we just have to write it out. Let me say this. He kept silent. His bones waxed old. Then there's the word roaring there, verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring or moaning. Do you feel what David was going through? Strength was leaving his physical body, mentally and spiritually. He was moaning. His sin was weighing upon his heart and mind, causing tremendous inner turmoil. His conscience was bothered. He had a sense of God's displeasure. He was under conviction. He was holding in. My word to you this, listen, it may not be sin with you this morning. And I'm not trying to be harsh this morning. Whatever burden you may have carried through the door, your bones are waxing old because of it. Strength is leaving your body. Spiritually and mentally, you are slipping. My plea to you this morning is just come to the Lord. Come to Him. Take His hand. He will put moisture in your bones, in your body. We will finish up tonight. There's some other things that I don't want to run through before we get to other points, but we talked about sin this morning. Tonight we're going to mention storms, stubbornness, and sadness. All these things come from a life that is very, very complex. And so I hope it was a help and a blessing. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, I pray that you would apply the message to the heart that needs it the most. Let somebody come. We're here for one another. Nobody's looking, pointing, laughing. But we're coming for healing and help. Give liberty. Save the lost and bless the saved is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, stand to your feet, please. They're going to sing a special. You come on the first verse. Do business with the Lord. Anyone?
Even though my spirit's low,
it may not be sin,
and it seems I can hardly
go, it may just
go,
be a family
but
problem.
Still, I see victory.
Everybody's not going to think you've been sinning all week. It doesn't matter
Many
what they
times
think.
I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me.
Let's do
but
business with the
still,
Lord this morning.
I see victory.
Sing it, guys.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline.
He can only get so close, the devil can.
Because I'm covered by his blood.
Are you covered by his blood?
You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
Come on down, friend.
Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Plenty haven't responded. Maybe you need to come.
Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock.
Are you on the rock?
So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
Satan's a loser.
I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Go ahead and sing one more chorus, whatever.
I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline.
If God is knocking, you come and open the door.
Because I'm covered by his blood.
Get saved now.
You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
And just play softly. We still got one or two down here, but thank you for all those who have come this morning. And I just hope you got something from the message and from the singing. Not trying to cut things off completely. We will just, I don't know, maybe sing another chorus one more time. Just give one last chance. I really feel like someone needs to come. I ain't trying to sound super spiritual. I ain't trying to sound like that at all. But maybe there's someone else. Give you one more chance to come while the church is open.
Sometimes our battles get hot, and it
Anyone?
Seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember
you're not promised you'll be alive tonight.
I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if
you're
I
saved,
were you,
don't meet God.
I turn around
from afar.
And I give up too, cause I do believe.
Just come on down and give it to him.
You're bound to lose.
Lord, save me. Don't want to go to hell when I die.
I just got
Lord,
to tell
I am
you,
saved.
Satan,
but I want to walk closer
cross
to you.
The bloodline.
Somebody still needs to come
because
this morning.
Because I'm covered by his blood.
Don't play with the Lord.
You may stare and you may fight, but you're going to lose this battle tonight. Cause remember, you can't. can't cross the bloodline. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
Amen.
Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you for those who came. And I hope you enjoyed visit at Calvary today. And so good to be back. Good to have everybody back with us. I know some are still away and traveling or whatever, but so good to be here. And just remember everybody on the prayer list. Remember there's a card over here for Miss Carmichael, if you'd be so kind. Those that know her, sign it. Even if you don't know her, sign it. Tell her you're praying for her. Seriously, you know, we all could use a word of encouragement from time to time. Anything to mention? 3:30? 3:30 for the ladies? 3:30 COU, me and KFC. Y'all hear me? 3:30 COU, me and KFC. I'm just kidding. Don't show up at KFC at 3:30. All right. There'll be choir practice to follow shortly after that this evening. And everybody have a blessed, safe afternoon. All hearts clear before we go.
Clear.
Clear. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.